Welcome to Caregivers and Candid Conversation Podcast. I am Lashina McBride, the host and the executive director of We Support Caregivers Incorporated. We Support Caregivers is a 501c3 organization whose mission is to encourage and empower individuals who care for their elderly loved ones to cultivate and focus on self-care. To make a donation or to learn more about us, please visit wesupportcaregivers.org. And caregivers, while you're on our website, be sure to check out everything that we've made available to you. From our Care Connection emails that you can subscribe to, from our self-care support text that you can join, from our self-care support kits that you can sign up to possibly receive one, the birthday club, our free educational resources, and more. Again, visit wesupportcaregivers.org and check all these resources that are available to you, the caregiver. So, caregivers, what do you do when you find yourself in a position of having to take care of a parent who caused you trauma in your life? What do you do? How do you navigate this process? How do you provide care to them and provide care for them without allowing the trauma they inflicted on you to compromise how you take care of them? How do you do it? What is the strategy? What is the way? Well, after this break, our very own Vice President of We Support Caregivers Incorporated, Ms. Brittany Thompson, she's going to share her current situation and what she's been doing and what to do when caregiving meets trauma. Stay tuned. After this break, we're going into the podcast. You're listening to Caregivers and Candid Conversation Podcast by We Support Caregivers Incorporated. So, hey, everyone, we're back in the studio with another podcast. So sitting here with me is my vice president. Let me tell you, Brittany and I go back. I mean, we go back before there was a We Support Caregivers, when this was just a conception, when this was just a thought. Brittany was down when I approached her, you know, and she's been rocking with us, rocking with me from day one. So let me just give her the floor for a minute. Let me give her flowers first. Brittany, girl, thank you. Thank you so much because, I mean, I came to you. I said, hey, Brittany, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to need a vice president. How you feel about that? She's like, yeah. And ever since that day, 5 years ago, this woman right here has been loyal, down, faithful, whatever I need her to do. I mean, she's been committed. And that's why she rightfully has the position of vice president, just because she's kind of been with us from day one, before we had an office, before we ever did podcast, before all of that, she's been with us. So she can see the growth, been a part of the growth in the process. So Brittany, I'm giving you flowers right now, girl. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for just your dedication, your commitment, for being down with us, for, you know, repping the brand, pushing the brand, believing in We Support Caregivers Incorporated before we came this far. Definitely. So I appreciate you. So, Brittany, just let everybody know a little bit about yourself. You know, there's more to you than just being the vice president of my organization, but, you know, just whatever you want someone else to know about you, just a little bit. Just introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Brittany Thompson. As Sheena said, I've been with We Support. Well, it wasn't always We Support.
Correct. We changed our name. That's what I'm saying. You've been there, girl, through all that.
Yeah, so I've been around for a while. I'm a Virginia native, been here my whole life in the Hampton Roads area. Mm-hmm. I don't know, not much to say. I've been a caregiver for about 5.5 years now. Mm-hmm. Primary caregiver for about 5.5 years now. My work, I'm not a caregiver, but I service a lot with low income communities, mm-hmm. and things like that. And I've been doing that for almost 10 years now. So, that's pretty much.
Yes. Very intelligent, smart, all the above, resourceful, all those good things. So Brittany, something that we want to talk about, because during our 5th year anniversary lunch, you brought up to me, you're like, well, Sheena, you know, not a lot of people talk about what it's like caring for someone that caused you trauma. Yeah. I was like, well, we're going to talk about it, Brittany. You know, we're going to talk about it. So she's in because, you know, even though that could be her situation or that's what she's been through and she's here to share, you know, sharing it can also help another caregiver in the same situation. So I appreciate you coming, you know, wanting to share and, you know, maybe help another caregiver and shed some light on their situation. So, yeah. So I know one of the questions I want to ask was, since you brought that up, being the caregiver of your mom, mm-hmm. like, what would you say, what is the trauma that you recognize came from either caregiving or that was there prior and caregiving kind of magnified the trauma?
So I think it's a combination of things. I'll start with just how the process of how I became a primary caregiver.
Okay.
It was pretty abrupt. So my dad was my mom's primary caregiver. She's been disabled for a long time. Mm-hmm. She's dealt with different illnesses, mm-hmm. cancer and things like that since mm-hmm. I was a little girl. So my mom's kind of always been my ill parent, okay. but my father was there until he passed mm-hmm. In 2017. So mm-hmm. I took over. My siblings kind of helped me out a lot. My brother was very helpful. He actually came and moved in with us mm-hmm. to assist me, so it would be a little bit easier, you know, to take care of her. And then my brother passed a little over a year ago. So, and then it was just me. And so, that eventually became just too much. So we decided to move my mom into a facility. So, a lot of abrupt, quick changes. So, especially with my dad, it's not something that you kind of, you know, a lot of times you prepare, you know, okay, well, we kind of see a parent's decline and eventually we may have to get there. So it's really abrupt. So if you're 27 years old and now you're a caretaker, it's like, so I think that there's a little bit of, you know, trauma in that. And it's like, okay, none of my other friends are dealing with this. No one else I know is having to mm-hmm. get up and bathe their mom, cook for them, do all these things, take them to the doctors and things like that. So there's a little bit of, you know, I don't want to say resentment, but it's a little bit of, like, man, this is unfair.
Okay.
With that, because it's like, I'm not supposed to be dealing with this at this point in my life. And I think another aspect that kind of makes it challenging, my mom's not, I kind of have to be the adult. So I handle everything, like if it's legal stuff or if it's important business or anything like that, I'm the one that has to deal with it because she's really not the person equipped to do it. So it's kind of hard because it's like, I became the parent and it's like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to wrap my head around because you feel like, okay, when you're in your 20s or your early 30s, you're mm-hmm. still making mistakes and trying to figure out and do things. Like, but I'm the one that has to be the responsible one because I'm responsible for myself and another person who's very difficult and hard to get her to see things from different perspectives. So, but I guess as far as like going back through childhood, is that what you kind of want me to
You can, because when you mentioned this, you know, during our anniversary lunch, that's what I kind of felt like.
Yeah.
What is it like to have to take care of your mom now when maybe growing up and she's, you know, her parenting style something could have caused trauma. How do you deal with that now you're in the role taking care of her?
So I'll say my mom, and I think a lot of times when we think of trauma, we always think of something like very like
dramatic,
super dramatic, like they were physically abusive and things like that. And that's not necessarily the case. My mom wasn't a terrible person or anything mm-hmm. like that. But I definitely, you know, as I got older and there were things that I noticed as a child, but I think after my dad died, a lot of other people kind of started to see stuff that I've kind of always seen.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe some undiagnosed mental health things going
on. Okay.
Very narcissistic
in
a lot of ways. Not very empathetic with other people. I know when I was younger, you know, I've always been heavier. So she definitely played into a lot of insecurities and things that I had. So, you know, and just in general, she, I think her thing is if I buy you things, that's my way of showing love and take care of you. But I don't think she was a very nurturing parent.
Got it.
And so, and like I said, the narcissism, you know, I'm not a clinician or a licensed person, you know, but these are things I've talked with people that are,
right, and you know,
those are tendencies of narcissism, you know, borderline personality things and stuff like that. So
disorders.
So, it's very hard to kind of communicate with her, and even, you know, trying to express like, if this bothers me or the blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's like, okay, it goes in one ear, it goes out the other. We never even had this discussion or, you know, or even having a conversation. Well, remember you said, I never said that. So it's a lot of that, mind games, manipulation, that type of stuff.
Right.
And it still goes on now.
So.
So, and that's, you know, and that's kind of hard to, you know, as a child, and it's like, okay, well, you're supposed to be the person that's encouraging me, or, you know, you're supposed to be pushing me to do. And it's like, you know, if it doesn't, you know, really serve her, then, you know, in a ways, her priority is her first, you know, it's always been that way. So, and not say she wouldn't do for me, because she did, you know, I never lacked for anything. I never wanted for anything.
That's good.
But, I think the nurturing part, she, definitely lacked. And, like I said, and she's not, my dad was more of my, I felt more of my parent. Even though, to some extent, there are a lot of the like personal things you deal with and stuff like that. I don't think I really had like a parent for that. My dad was very, you know, old school, you know, stern, but he was, as far as like advice and making decisions and things like that, my dad was my parent. I never felt that way about my mom. My mom was always kind of like a responsibility. And now that my parent is gone, it's like, okay, now I have to be the parent. So, you know, it's just kind of difficult. She's very impulsive, like trying to make her understand, like making good decisions as far as money and things like that is very, very, very hard. It's very difficult. And it's funny because my sister called me today. She was like, I went to go see mom. And she's like, she was just, what she was just talking about was just so unbelievably ridiculous. And she was like, all I can hear you is in your head, like, don't even argue with her. Just, just let it, you know, you know what it is. So, but yeah, that's kind of like my background with it. You know, nothing super like dramatic or anything
that,
but you know, little things like that build up over time, and it affects, you know, I'm currently in therapy and things like that. So, and it, you know, we talk about that and it, how it manifests in other ways and things like that. So,
Well, I mean, congratulations, you know, for, you know, taking care of your own mental health and well-being by going to therapy. You know, that's great. Here's what I want. I want to make a comment. The comment I'm making is, number one, if you felt resentful, that's your truth. If you felt resentful, that's your truth. Because when I was the caregiver of my mom, I was younger than that. I was 19. I didn't know, like, I, you know, when Holly and I had our podcast, I didn't know what that was until years down the road. Like, oh, that's what I am? I didn't know what it was. During that time when I was taking care of her at that age, we was living in Maryland, actually. So my, she wasn't old enough for her benefits. So I was the one working and taking care of all that type of stuff. You know, when I needed stuff that my money couldn't handle, I called my sisters. They would send money and things like that, or send things. But, you know, I was in the hands-on position. She was still able to get around and move around.
Yeah, so but, my mom's not walking now. So I can't take care of her, you know.
At that point, she was still able to get around and move around and what have you. But as time went on, you know, things progressed and stuff like that. So I did have that moment, those moments where that time of feeling resentful, like, why me? This, that, whatever. You know, stuff like that. So that's your truth. That's, if that's how you felt, if that's how you currently feel, and you're working through that and through those emotions, that's your truth. You understand? Number two, trauma, again, trauma is trauma, big or small.
Because
even what I might deem as something small can still impact you in a different way than it would impact me. But it still all still comes down to being trauma. So never minimize it. It was still some, you know, like that. Because some people try to, and I know people might say, well, what kind of trauma is that? It's still trauma because of the impact that it now has on you that you're working through and stuff, you know? So never, you know, so that's your truth. And go ahead.
And I think, like I said, it wasn't anything like, and there's, I think there's different levels and magnitudes of trauma, mm-hmm. and they're all very, very important. I just want people to understand that just because someone isn't like physically abusing you or things like that, that you don't experience like effects from things that they've done. So, like I said, with my mom, it's just very, very different. And I know for me, what was really challenging when I became her caregiver is because, you can't really rationalize with her. I think a lot of, like I said, once my dad died, I think a lot of personality traits and things like that, and, you know, her character became a lot more visible to a lot of people. And it's weird, like, you know, once that started happening, I started having more conversations with her siblings and stuff, and they're like, you know, we kind of know stuff like that about her even when she was young.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, but it was like my grandparents and my dad kind of always enabled that behavior. So it's like that my dad, you know, for my life was always that buffer. You know, I've always kind of seen stuff. I'm like, come on, like, she's ridiculous. She's being ridiculous right now. Like, why are we like feeding into this?
Correct.
So now that he's gone, it's always crazy. I was the back talk child. I was the, because I realized like this is not right. This is ridiculous. So, you know, that was a struggle a long time because it's like, I'm not going to feed into this,
right.
This nonsense. Like, you know, and like I said, the big thing is she could be very, very, very manipulative because she's so used to having her way. And so even
and daddy just, did mm-hmm, that.
And it's even something that you think is minor. Like I know me and my sister, you know, we had went through this phase where, you know, and I'm trying to get back to that, but, you know, being healthier and things like that. And, you know, we're like, okay, we're going to eat healthy. And, you know, on the weekend we'll splurge and, you know, get something a little unhealthy, whatever. So she was upset. She was like, no, I want Chinese food this week, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, no, mom, we're eating healthy. And the thing is, my mom has, you know, a lot of physical disabilities that, you know, that could be improved with surgery if she lost weight. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on since I was a little girl. So she steadily deteriorated. She's never really lost weight and things like that. So a lot of her issues could have been improved if she had taken better care of herself. And I think that's another thing that's made it very, very hard for me, because it's like, you could have taken measures to improve your quality of life and you didn't. You just continued to like deteriorate, and just, it's like she didn't mind being a burden on someone. Like, you know, once my dad died, moved to my brother, then it's just like, you know, and then once my brother dies, she was really upset with, you know, that we put her in a nursing home. But I think in general, I just haven't, like, I knew that I couldn't be the next person in the grave, you know, like, cause she can wear you down. Very, very exhausting person. Very persistent to get what she wants. So, you know, back to the story, you know, we're like, we're going to eat healthy. You know, we're going to eat, you know, we'll get Chinese food on the weekend. She's threatening to take all her medicine and kill herself, you know, just because manipulation, things like that. Because, you know, my sister, you know, she's been, no, mom, you know, like, don't do it. Like, it's not that serious. And, you know, I walked out of the room. I'm like, she's too self-centered to kill herself. Like, I know that sounds terrible, but she's not going to do it. So I'm like, you know, and it's funny that, you know, years later now, me and my sister look back, we laugh and talk. She was like, she was never going to. I said, you and I both know she was never going to do that now. But it's just funny that people see, like, different things like that. Yeah. And other, now that's just one
incident.
Little thing.
What,
yeah, uh-huh. But it's just, you know, it's very difficult to deal with, because it's not only that physical disability, but it's also, like, you know, trying to combat, like, the poor decision making, the irrational decision making, the combativeness, the persistence, the lack of boundaries, all of that stuff. And that can be hard to deal with on top of having to deal with the physical disability. And it's like, it's so frustrating because it's like, I just want to pick up and run away. Because it's like,
that's honest. That's honest.
It's just very hard because it's like, I know, like, it's just hard just to think about, like, the different things, like, you comment about my weight or, you know, things like that as a child.
I was going to ask you that.
And it's, like, it's just very hard to, like, I'm still, like, I'm thinking about all the things I felt and I felt like I didn't get as a child. And then it's, like, I'm dealing with the nonsense now. And it's, like, I don't have to do this. And in her mind, she believes that I have to do this. So
entitlement.
Entitlement. I don't think I've ever met a person more
entitled. Oh wow. So, oh wow.
It's a lot of things. It's very hard, and I don't know if I necessarily have a resolve about that. Like I think it's more so, I think me personally more so than like my siblings. Well, my brother's gone now, but my sister, I've accepted who she is.
Right.
And I think that's what's helpful for me. I don't expect her to change. And that's something that I've gotten, I've kind of accepted for a while now. And okay. Even before my dad died.
Okay.
So
okay.
I think, after he died, I had hopes that she would try to do different things to, improve her health because, she was still walking and things like that, but she just, I've kind of just, like I said, just accepted, her ways, maybe I'll never have the relationship that I will want to have with, my mother. So, and I think that makes it easier because it's like when you have this, I look at, after my dad died, my sister and how I approached dealing with her versus how my sister approached dealing with her. I think it was a lot more struggle. Like, I want you to do better. I want you to do blah, blah, blah. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And I'm like, that's not an approach. Because if she doesn't want to change or she doesn't want to do things, she's still in her sound mind, even though physically she's not, sound mind that she can make this. She may have some undiagnosed mental health things going on,
maybe some early stage dementia.
Her siblings have said like the things she does. She's done that, the manipulation, that type of stuff. She's done that even as a child.
Okay.
So that's always been there.
Okay.
So even as a kid, I recognize certain things. I'm like, that's not. So she's just always been like that. So
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So your mother, mm-hmm. who had her husband, pretty much feed into her behavior. Parents feed into her behavior. Yeah. But, your dad's not here, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like it was an impact and a loss for you, it impacted and was a loss for her. Do you believe that maybe the decline, maybe some of the things that she's now, her behavior right now, and how it's magnified, could this also be some grief mixed in with, she don't have, how long your parents were married?
My parents were married almost 50 years.
So 50.
I think they were married like 47 years before he died, something like that. So,
so let's look at the reality, that scope.
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I definitely think she dealt with grief, and it was really bad after my dad died. Because like I said, my dad took care of her. He did everything for her. Like she never, she didn't work most of my life. So, and this was before she came really, physically disabled and stuff like that. So, it was hard when he first, when he first died, she was kind of like out of it for a while. We had to take her to the hospital.
Yeah.
She was there for a while. That was very, very, that was a tough like 4 or 5 month stretch for me. So, definitely think she deals with grief with in that aspect. My brother, it was a little bit interesting because and I had talked about this with my sister and I was like, I felt her response wasn't that of someone that just lost their firstborn child.
Okay.
Which was hard for me because and I've always said this even before my brother died. And maybe I'm wrong, but this is just how I feel.
Your truth.
Mm-hmm. I've said this word, and I felt like if I died, I don't think my mother would miss me. I think she would miss me doing for her.
Okay.
And that's the same thing, when my brother dies, she always talks about, she would say, well, he told me he would never put me in a nursing home. He would never do this, blah, blah, blah. And, one time I sat and I talked with her and I was like, do you actually miss him for him? Or, I said, I feel sad when I think about my brother because he died in his 40s. He has children that are, one is going to, she just entered her first year of college. So they're adults, but they're young, they're in 20s, they're teens, I'm sad that he won't get to see his children, you know, mature and become old. And I'm sad that he died. You know, he started having some health issues, you know, towards the end of his life. I'm sad for him because of that. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're sad for him because he's not here to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and also that's, I mean, I could be wrong. You know, she could, I don't know. I can't say because I don't, I'm not in her head. So I don't know. She could be very well grieving, but that's just not how it looks to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
and I think for me that was hard because I feel like in a way it confirmed how I felt. Like, you know, if something were to happen to me, I don't think it would be that was me per se that she would miss, but like
what
the person's not here to do what I need them to do.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
But my dad was very, very different. Like that was full blown grief. We had to put her in the hospital type of thing, like out of it. Talking out of her mind, like it was really bad. So, yeah.
Okay.
But and I think she's really started deteriorating after that. And I won't say that she gives up because in her, you know, just talking with her, you know, she's in the nursing home and stuff, and she's like, "Oh, I'm getting out of here. I'm gonna get my own apartment," things like that. So in her mind, you know, her life is gonna improve.
Right.
I mean, she's not necessarily making any steps to improve them,
oh.
but. You know, in her mind, she's like, I'm going to walk again. I'm going to do better. And I you know, it's kind of hard, you know, there's another thing my sister and I, we laugh about. Cause she's like, she used to go back and forth. Well, you're not doing this. You're not. I'm like, just say, okay. 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 Because it gives you so much more peace
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to fight and combat
right.
with people. You know, like I said, I just accepted who she is. And,
okay.
you know. Her ways, her thoughts, and it's very hard to, even if you have conversations with her, it's, you know, I talk to my aunts and uncles, her siblings, and they're like, I just don't understand her thinking. And I was like, welcome to my world.
right.
But, you know, so.
So how has it been? Because, again, you know, you're still going through your own grief with your dad, and then your
mm-hmm.
brother and stuff. When you have your mom now that you're taking care of, you're the primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
How has that impacted how you're grieving? Like your whole grieving process with your dad and then your brother, you know, because you've had some multiple, you
yeah.
know, people leave here back to back.
Yeah.
How are you still processing your grief and then you're taking care of your mom? And because let me tell you another grief right now, your life, when you became the primary caregiver and it was abrupt, you
yeah.
kind of had to grieve how your life was before.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's still grief. So
yeah.
How are you dealing with all that and still able to take care of your mom without having the resentment come in, without, like you said,
mm-hmm.
it's a process you're working through,
mm-hmm.
but has any of that made you or impacted the way you provide care for your mom or to your mom?
Yeah, I think in that first year, I won't say for sure. I think for a brief period after, I won't put a time limit on it because I
mm-hmm.
can't really give you a time
mm-hmm.
limit. I was very like, I wouldn't say mean to her, but like
okay.
very like, no, you're not gonna like, you know, control my life, like
control your
very
life.
Curt because it's like, not that I don't dislike you, but like not that I dislike you, but it's like
you dislike the situation.
I dislike the situation. I don't really like. I feel like if, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I don't know if she wasn't so dependent on me, I don't know what our relationship would look like, if
okay.
that makes sense. So
okay.
it was like, now I'm feeling being forced to have a relationship with you because of just,
okay.
you
okay.
need me. So, I don't know. I think for a while it was just very like, I feel like I did it out of bitterness.
Okay. Okay. So there was some bitterness.
Yeah,
definitely. Okay.
And then just like I said, how abrupt it happened, and it's like, man, this really, really sucks. And it's like, it's funny. I knew. And so I feel like I went through a lot of life changes very like
abrupt.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my friends moved away from here during that time. You know, after my dad died and stuff like that. So over the next year or two, so it was kind of hard because it's just like. Dang, I lost everybody, and then now I'm just stuck with them and
mm-hmm.
her, and you know, and it's like, you know, you're so young, you want to pick up and move and go do, and it's like, mm-hmm. I can't, I'm right. stuck here, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you deal with, you know, your own kind of grief about that. You grieve mm-hmm. your life. You, mm-hmm. You've been like, and then for me, like I said, my dad was the parent that I was closest to. So, that was hard. Cause it's like, and it's so funny because I used to joke with my dad all the time before he died. And I was like, I used to say, you can't die before her because you can't leave me with her.
Oh, wow.
And he used to laugh. He used to laugh all the time whenever I said that. So it is like, man, that actually happened. So,
right.
You know, and like I said, I don't know. I just feel like my dad was my parent. And I think sometimes I feel like I don't really have a parent. Like, even though my mom's here, mm-hmm. like, I don't have a parent. Like, mm-hmm. my mom's not someone I would go to for advice or, like, mm-hmm. to talk about, like, different thing issues and things like that. So, in a way, I agree. Like, I feel like I'm just here taking care of you. Like, it's not, I don't really know how to describe that. It's like, she's not really my parent. She's my parent, but she's not my parent. If that makes
when it
sense.
Comes to, like, the emotional stuff.
Yeah,
that you...
and then the guidance, advice, and things like that. I feel like she's never been that person. Mm-hmm. So, very childlike in a lot of ways. And that could be just because, you know, she got married young, she had children young and things like that. So it could be just a lack of life experience and things mm-hmm. like that. But I think it might be that mixed with some,
like you said,
personal yeah, thing her. Going on with her. So, honestly, I don't really know. I talk about this with a lot of people, and I'm mm-hmm. like, I just did what I had to do.
Right. So, okay, you mentioned something I want to go back and revisit. Mm-hmm. During the conversation, you said that you want to get back or working on getting back to, you know, being more healthy and mm-hmm. healthy. So, would you say during the process of taking care of your mom, has that impacted how you take care of yourself?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I think for a while, like, it was, I don't think people understand how, like, physically demanding it is to be a caregiver. Mm. Like, I'm getting up. It's almost like, you know, I understand, like, when people have children, like, mm-hmm. how time-consuming it is, you know, and things like that. But it's hard when you have someone who's a grown adult. You have to physically get them up and things
correct.
Like that.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
it's very hard. And my mom's a happy-sized woman. So, you know, getting up early before I go to work, coming home, okay, oh, you wet the bed, and it's not a little baby diaper, mm-hmm. or it's like, or you, mm-hmm. you poop. It's a grown person's, you know,
right.
That you're dealing with. So it's physically demanding. It's tiring. And so, you know, I know for me, for a while, I feel like I kind of like neglected like mm-hmm. myself because I'm just tired, you know. And then I started grad school at the same time, so it's like, I'm gonna eat and whatever I get my hands on, if I do cook, you know, or I'm not working out or things like that. And, you know, and then after my brother died, that was really, I picked up, like, it was so much going on because we had issues with her house and we couldn't, you know, we couldn't physically live there yep. anymore because we had a random, like, water mold issue that came out of, well, I wouldn't say came out of nowhere, but it literally popped up overnight. And, you know, trying to deal with, you know, getting rid of the house because no one could live there anymore. And I'm dealing with stuff with lawyers. And, you know, at one point after my brother died, we put her in a facility, and that facility wasn't good. They weren't taking care of her, and she ended up getting an infection fell.
Oh.
And so she was in the hospital for a while. And then so when she went to the hospital, I had to find her a new facility.
Yep.
I had to move all her stuff out of the old facility. So it was like a good 6-7 months. It was very, very long. And then one of my coworkers, you know about
yes.
that, died, good friend of mine. So it was just like back to back to back. And I gained like 45 pounds mm. within that time period, like 40 to 45 pounds. Mm-hmm. And that was maybe like 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but, you know, I started going to therapy and things like that. And, you know, I know just looking at my mom in the course of her life, you know, just how her health has deteriorated because she didn't do certain things for her weight and, you know, eating healthy and things like that. I made changes, you know, and it's hard when you've always been kind of, you know, heavier mm-hmm. and like you didn't grow up in a household that prioritized mm-hmm. health.
Correct.
So my mom doesn't eat like, she's not a vegetable person. Even when I was living with her and I was trying to make healthy changes, like cooking kale and different vegetable stuff, she'd go, I don't know why you bring that here. I'm not going to eat it. So, right. You know, just trying to like expand my outlook on like how to care for myself, you know, as far as like health, eating better and things like that. It's really, really hard when you didn't grow up with that.
Yeah.
So it's like you're completely like forcing yourself to do something you've never done, you know, pretty much your entire life. So, but I know like just looking at her, I don't want to end up in that situation.
Correct.
If I could have done things to prevent and to improve myself, and, you know, my mom never did that. She never, you know, did, you know, went to a nutritionist or, you know, worked out or things like that. Mm-hmm. Her thing was always like fast fads, like, oh, well, I'm going to do this diet. I'm going to Weight Watchers and now I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And which she actually put me on some of those fat diets when I was a kid too, which is crazy. But,
wow.
You know, it's just, it's like, I don't want to end up like that. So,
right. And that's,
and if I do end up in a condition where I can't take care of myself, I want it to be that I've done everything that I possibly could have to improve my life. And for her, it's, you know, even we've had conversations now, I think after my dad died, things like that. And she's like, I don't know what I did to deserve this. And I'm like, Mom, sometimes it's not what you do to deserve it. It's like, what did you do to improve your life? You haven't done any of these things that you need to. Like, you've gone to multiple surgeons, you know, orthopedic surgeons over years. They told you things were going to deteriorate in order. They could do operations for you, but you have to lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, certain hospitals will not permit you to do certain surgeries if you're over a certain weight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're like, get your weight down and we're going to, you know. There were so many times where she was supposed to have like weight loss surgery. And I'm like, okay, if you're not going to do weight loss surgery, you got to eat right. You got to work out. I wouldn't do it. I remember it was crazy because one time my sister was living in Atlanta and she had called me and my mom was going through the weight loss, the gastric, you know, process. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a long process before you get to it. And so she had got through everything but the surgery. And, you know, my sister was calling me this entire time. And my sister was living in Georgia at that point. And she was like, I need you to be encouraging for her and she's going to do it this time. And, you know, and this is after I had come home from college. There are multiple occasions since I was a kid, she was supposed to have gastric. And my sister called me and she's like, she's going to do it this time. And I told my sister, she's not going to do it. She's like, no, I really believe her this time. She's going to do it. Like, just encourage her and blah, 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 you know, like be there, support her. I said, okay, well, I'll let you know she's not going to do it. Of course I was right. So, you know, I just don't want that to be me, you know, like in her, and when you talk to her about these things, it's like, she doesn't hear you. Like when people say selective hearing, like she is that person that has selective hearing. If it's not what she wants to hear, or if it doesn't sound good to her, or doesn't feed mm-hmm. into her, whatever she wants to feed, she won't hear you.
Wow.
So that impacts me. It's like, I don't want to be that person, you know, and I don't have children or anything like that. But if I do, it's like, I do not want to be that parent.
Right. I was going to ask you about that too. Taking care of your mom. Like, I don't know what it is about me. Like,
mm-hmm.
way before I was a child and I was like, I don't want to have children. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is about. And well, my oldest nephew came down here. He moved down here temporarily for a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's like, Auntie, you said this when we was children. Mm-hmm. You weren't having no kids and you ain't never lied. I said, yeah. You know, that's how, mm-hmm. and I don't know what that is. So that doesn't come, me not wanting to have children, that was never something, I don't believe that has anything to do with me taking care of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to ask you,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I do want maybe like one or two, no more than that.
Okay.
That's two, all right. Pushing it. But I know like, for me, what type of parent, like, I think my biggest thing is I'm scared that I'm going to be so, like, trying to be the
friend.
No, not necessarily that, but I'm trying to be so opposite of her that I'm going to be too much, if that makes sense. And that kind of, I worry about that. But I know, like, the different things that I wish that she was, and I would like to try to be that for my kid, you know. And like I said, she wasn't, like, a horrible person.
Right.
She wasn't.
That's right.
You know,
I get it.
I don't think she was just, personally how I feel, I don't feel like she was a nurturing parent.
So she wasn't, and if she wasn't a nurturing parent, do you think she didn't receive nurture?
No, which is crazy. Right. My grandparents are complete, and this is, we've had conversations about, and I've talked to my uncle, about this, which is her baby brother, and she's really close to him. You know, we've talked about this, and he was like, I don't understand why she, you know, was the way that she was, because our parents were the complete opposite. Like, they were the complete opposite. My grandmother was probably the most nurturing person, most selfless person I've ever met in my life. So, I don't know. That's why I said I think it's more of a personal thing. And I don't know if there's, I don't really know much about her. Like, so I can't say if like she had different experiences when she was young that she hasn't told us about. You know, okay. I don't really know. She doesn't really talk much about, you know, her childhood. So I don't really know much about her. But as far as my grandparents, you know, they weren't like abuser, you know, that, you know, I can't say like they were neglectful parents or anything like that. That wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I don't really know where that came from. So,
okay.
I think that's something that I just kind of have to. It could be a mental health thing. It could be some experiences that I don't
know about,
you know, but it, you know, she grew up with great parents. So.
Right. Cause I mean, I know like my mom, I know a lot about my mom and her upbringing and stuff. And she did go through traumatic situations and stuff like that as a child. Mm-hmm. I definitely can see like how raising me, In some ways, how she kind of raised me in some aspects from the trauma. Because I remember, like, for instance, my mom, she went through an abusive marriage. And I remember her telling me, she always said she didn't want to marry again unless, you know, either her children were grown or this, whatever. She wanted to marry. That's just not how her life ended up. But... you know, she always was very protective over me and my sisters and stuff like that. And that's because she was raped when she was younger and stuff like that. And I mean, because she didn't get the therapy, counseling and stuff like that, you know, I heard about it, you know, from her.
Other people, yeah.
I've seen her, you know, it not from other people, per se, from her. She told me. She told me many stories about, you know, things that she encountered growing up, you know, and stuff like that. So I would say that maybe you don't know about, maybe there's something your mom.
There's quite possible. Like,
yeah.
But see, my mom's the type of person, she's not, I wouldn't say she tries to, like,
cover up,
but she's always gonna put on her best
face
for everything. So if there was something like that, I don't know if she would ever share that with me. So
and, I mean, I think, and people that always want to put on their best face, I think, you know, caring too much what other people think about them is one of the reasons why people do that. And then, you know, your mom could have came up in that generation, and I don't know, but what goes in our house, stay in our house, that's something that typically most, you know, people, they would say, well, what goes in our home, stay at home, that type of mentality, or should stay here, you know. So she could have grew up in that time. So let me ask you this. Now that, do you think just how things happen, you're the one who's the primary caregiver of your mother. Even though through all the trauma you experienced growing up, you know, with your mom, the current trauma you experience just from the whole becoming a caregiver so suddenly, and that in itself is trauma. Because your life is not the same for at least a temporary bit of time. But that temporary bit of time seems for a while, and it could be.
It could be a while.
You know what I mean? And you have to wrap your mind around that, kind of put stuff off on hold that you want to do, X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. Do you ever think that this is an opportunity to try to establish some type of, since you accept your mom for where she is, who she is, do you think this is an opportunity, not trying to mend, but just try to have like a relationship with her? Like if your mom was, you know, when her time comes, do you think it would be like any regrets that you would have? Like what's that whole notion of things? Like how... do you think this is just an opportunity not to mend, fix, because she's not, that's not where she is, she ain't in that headspace, but just to have some type of relationship with her So like in the event when she does, it is her time to leave here, you can look back and be like, well, my mom was like this, but at least, you know what I mean? Like,
honestly, shed some light on it. Honestly, no. Okay. I think our relationship is, you know, very surface level.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that, you okay. know, and I think, you know, when we go see you, we have conversations about like family, you know, my big thing now, I'm into like the ancestry research and we talk about that, you know, we talk about what we see on TV and she tell me what's going on with everybody else and family or our church and stuff like that. And I'm like, but that's the basis of our, we don't really like,
okay.
We just don't really have a in-depth relationship. Like it's funny. I have some friends that I've been friends with for probably almost 20 years. She can't tell you their names. So like, okay. It's very like, I just don't really, maybe that's just me being more guarded, but I just don't really see the point. So it's like, for my peace of mind, it's like, and I'm okay with like, this is just what our relationship is. And I'm okay with that. And I feel like I was more resentful and more like frustrated when I wanted to like have that. And I feel like once I let go of that, it's like, that's who she is. You know, it's okay, you know? And I feel like I have more peace with that than trying to like, you know, I see my other friends, I was like, well, and that's not, you know, not saying everybody's relationship is perfect or, you know, cause some, you know, other friends do have issues with their mom, but there, some people have, you know, my friends and, you know, they've talked about their moms about certain things or, you know, they have a good relationship with their mom. I'm like, dang, I wish I had that. But it's like, I feel like when I try to, there have been times I've tried to have like hard to have conversations about different things with her or expressing to her like different things that upset me. Like, I don't like when you do this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's no point in even having that conversation. Okay. So it's like, okay, you know, it is.
So to protect your emotions, you have accepted the surface relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. What do you want people to know, other caregivers in your situation or going through and have similar circumstances where, you know, they're now taking care of the parent they don't really have a relation with or experience some type of trauma, you know, in their life, childhood, what have you, but now they're in the role of caregiver. What do you want them to know? Like, what do you want them to know? Share some important, like, as we close, share something that you, like some takeaways, like things that they can do to work through the trauma, their trauma, while they're taking care of their loved ones and stuff like that.
I think the first thing for me, I talk to myself and it's like, Brittany, you don't have to do this. You don't have to. I choose to do it because honestly, I know I'm very responsible and things like that. And it's like, I know at the end of the day, like certain things have to be done and taken care of. And that, you know, that's just the person that I am. So it's like, you know, I could pick up and move to another state if I wanted to and, you know, be free from this. And, you know,
but would you be free?
I think in the back of my head, I would be, but you know, but that's, I think that depends on the person. Some people they can't deal with that type of pressure. So they run, you know, and that's, and I'm not, that's nothing against anyone like
correct.
But some people aren't hit and that's not anything negative against that. But some people are better equipped to deal with certain things than other, like, even like me and my sister, like when it comes to like legal, like all that type of thing and, you know, business and stuff like, she's like, you know, Brittany will handle that because that's what she's good at. So like, sometimes it may be, you know, you can't do the physical part or you can't do this part. You can't do this part. Sometimes like just understanding what you are capable of doing, not necessarily physically, but mentally, like, you know, my mom can be a very drained person, you know, lack of boundaries and things like that. Mm-hmm. So like, it's okay to feel like, I can't do this. Cause I've even had moments where it's like, I just can't do that. I had to get in the car and just leave and drive away. Cause like, I cannot do this. And that's when the point where it's like, she has to go to nurse home. And it's just not just the physical, but like the mental, it was just too much on me. So, it's just okay to, you know that, you know, this is, if I'm doing this is something that I am opting to do. It's not like being, you know,
forced into.
So, and then, I will also say, like, you know, if you have had the opportunity, I know, like, for me, just having conversations, different things with them, and it's, if, like, it's really just not clicking, like, accepting, like, who they are, because you can't change anyone. You can desire all you want to, you know, for this person to be different things. But at the end of the day, if you like, I know, like for me, with my mom's, like I said, she's very persistent. She gets what she wants. Like she can't really, if it's not what she wants to hear, she'll hear what she wants to hear. Got and it. So like, or if it's something that, you know, even if you have honest conversations and it reflects badly on her, she's like, oh, well, it's no big deal, you know, or she'll turn it and start crying. Well, nobody did this and I didn't know how to be a great mom. So it's very overwhelming. And so it's like if you accept people for who they are, you won't feel disappointed that they're not the person that you want them to be.
Yes.
And I think, you know, if you're looking for whatever those different things that you're looking for, I feel like you can find them in the relationships that you choose to have with other people, whether it's significant others, your friends, or, you know, whoever, your therapist or whatever, you know, you have the opportunity to build relationships with other people that can kind of help fulfill those needs. If there's other relatives, you know, things like that. So just accepting people for who they are, because you can't force them to change. So, right. And if you do that, it's going to make caregiving much harder.
Got it.
I also suggest getting a therapist, just because she's been helpful for me with like setting boundaries. Cause like I said, my mom is very persistent. Like she wants what she wants. She will call you. She will text you. She will forget about it. I'll just get somebody else to do it. Like she's that type of person. So, she's really been helpful for me with different things, just, you know, processing certain stuff and just, you know, setting boundaries. I think therapy is really good. And, you know, helping me, you know, she's like, okay, well, when we first started, she was like, we're going to address different things with your mom, but now we're going to focus on you. So, and that's been very helpful, like different things that, okay, whatever you want to improve in your life, we're not dealing with this, because this, you know, we've set the boundaries. Now let's address different things that you want to improve and do better with your life.
Right.
So, that's been helpful. I think, and then if you have other people to rely on, use them. And I think that's something that I didn't do well. And I feel like I took on a lot of stuff by myself, and it wore me out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have other people you can depend on them. And then I think the last thing I'll say is, like, sometimes if you can't do something, you just can't do it. Right. Like, so I know, like, there's a situation that my mom has got going on, and even if there's some validity to what they want you to deal with or whatever, it's like, and I told her, I said, mentally, I just can't deal with that right now. Mm-hmm. It's not pressing. It's not life, you know, life or death, you know, it's nothing that, it is what it is. I just, you know, I told her, I said, I just don't have it in me right now to deal with that. So sometimes you have to be okay with saying, like, you know, I just don't have it in me right now to deal with that.
Right.
And it's okay, because I was like shutting down. Like, I feel like there was a good like 5 months where I was doing stuff, and I don't even remember.
Mm.
I don't even remember like those 5 months. I don't remember anything just because I was just doing. And it's like, I look back and I was like, I don't even know how I made it through those 5 or 6 months.
Mm.
So,
right. I was just, so that's some really good tips, some really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like, I had that relationship with my mom. My mom was loving, caring. Mm-hmm. I had that nurturing from my mom and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
My mom wish was not to be in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And even though taking care of her, it was physically demanding.
Yeah, it's hard.
It was very physically demanding. It was emotionally demanding. It was mentally demanding. Yeah. Mentally demanding.
It was draining.
But because I love my mom, mm-hmm. and I loved her, you know, I know she's told me, don't put me in a facility.
Mm-hmm.
And I honored that.
Yeah.
I honored that. So she transitioned peacefully at home, you know, mm-hmm. around family.
Yeah.
So I can say we honored what my mom wanted. Yeah. But there was times where my mom, just for insurance purposes and because of getting certain antibiotics she needed, she had to stay temporary in a nursing home. But yeah. She had a private room, and I was there with her.
Yeah.
You know, and I made relationship with the nurses. So when I did go work out, when I did go home and swap out clothes, what have you, they would text me, well, your mom's okay. Or I would call them, that, you know, really not call the front desk. They would give them their cell phone number. See, that's the type of connection I'm talking about. Hey, I'm the one taking care of your mom today. I'm about to pass her meds. She's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So it was something that I wanted to honor, you know, my mom. So I was like, you know, and there was times when I looked into it, like in case I really couldn't do it. And again, many times family stepped in and things of that nature, but I was the primary caregiver. Yeah. So
I know for me, I just couldn't, like, it was just, and like I said, at that point, my mom, like, it was just too, my mom's a heavier woman.
Right.
And the past couple of years, she really started deteriorating. And then after she had her fall, and the goal was, you know, when we talked to her first, you know, she was walking a little bit when she first got to the facility. And it's like, well, you know, maybe we can get you to come out. And, you know, if you can get the surgery and you're moving a little better, you can move in with the LMS. But after she fell, she hasn't walked in over a year.
Right.
So there's no way I can't do anything.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Inside a facility, is she seeing a therapist or getting counseling?
That's funny. I'm gonna backtrack a little bit, but even before, after my dad died, we talked to her. We said, you know, you need to get a therapist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not just, she was like, well, who's talking? Is somebody saying anything wrong? We're like, not saying that, but you were with someone in even
50 years.
And she actually met my dad when she was 12, because they known my families knew each other when they were kids. So, you know, and she was like, we're like, mom, you need to see a therapist. And one day my sister came to me, she was fussing. She was like, why didn't you go find a therapist? Mom, you said you were going to blah, blah, blah. She, I was like, what are you talking about? She said, she told me Brittany was supposed to find a therapist, but she never did. I said, she told me that her and my brother found somebody. So she does that type of, you know.
Play each other, play you
with
each other.
Yeah, so, and then one time, since she's been in the facility, saw her, and she was like, they sent somebody here to talk to me. They just want to make sure I ain't crazy. Ain't nothing wrong with me. So she's that type of person. So that's, like I said.
But did she at least talk to them? Because she didn't refuse it.
But see, here's the thing. I don't know. I wasn't there. So I don't know what, you know, what she said. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, she's going to tell people what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, got it.
Like I said, when she got this, she said, they trying to ask me to make sure I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. She knows what to say.
Right.
She's that person.
Okay.
So I don't know if she will ever even be open to the idea of seeing a therapist.
Okay. Okay. I mean, it's nothing wrong with trying to live it.
Yeah,
you know, just say, hey, mom. And have you shared with her that you're talking to a therapist?
Oh, yes. You know, I had, this is not the first time I've gone to a therapist. So.
Right.
She knows. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know.
So, yeah, that's funny. That's funny, too.
Your mom is your mom.
Yeah.
That's
what I said.
Right.
She's who she is.
And you accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just to recap. So, I guess if there's any other caregiver in this situation, the first thing is you just got to accept your parent for who they are.
Yeah.
That's accepting them protects your emotions. It protects you mentally. And by accepting them, you know how to deal with them.
Yeah.
You know how to deal with them. And then, you know, have a circle of support, people that you can talk to. Seek counseling or therapy for yourself. Because even though you're the role of a caregiver, you still had your own life and everything prior to becoming a caregiver.
Yeah.
And your life has value. It matters. You have a purpose. You have an assignment. So the things that you want to do, you still got to relive too. So, you know, revisit. So again, seek therapy, counseling, and knowing how to navigate this. Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with trauma from, you know, the parent. You know, the caregiver situation is traumatic itself. So you do need someone who can say, hey, that you're managing all this. Let's get some boundaries in place to show you how to navigate this. Still take care of your mom. Focus on the things that you need to do for yourself and your life and what have you. And again, having that circle of support and, you know, to help you. Or not only just to help you, people that you can talk to, you know, just a venting partner, something like that, can be helpful as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Brittany, I appreciate you. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing. Something you said can help another caregiver in the same situation. So I appreciate.
No, thank you.
I appreciate it so much. And I'm pretty sure everybody's listening. They appreciate it. And but yeah, you know, this it's been really good.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I really appreciate our very own Miss Brittany Thompson for coming in and sharing her whole experience of when caregiving meets trauma. I can tell that it was challenging for her, but knowing who Brittany is and because she honors her word when she gives it to people, I appreciate her pushing through, even though it was uncomfortable and it was very vulnerable for her to share her current experience. But I appreciate it because I know this podcast really is going to help another caregiver or other caregivers currently in the same situation, currently trying to navigate the same situation as Brittany. So I appreciate her coming in and being transparent and vulnerable. I thank all of you for listening and tuning in. Shouting out South Africa, Germany, Italy, all our listeners all over the world who choose to listen to and subscribe to We Support Caregivers and everything that we're doing from our podcast and subscribing to our emails. We thank you. We thank all of you. And, you know, again, this platform is to keep you encouraged on your caregiving journey to cultivate and focus on self-care. But in addition to that, we want to provide you with solutions and share other people's testimonies that can help you overcome. So until next time, make sure you take care of yourself. Remember, self-care is self-love. The way that we take care of ourselves is a reflection of the love we have for ourselves. And remember, don't forget, check out our website, wesupportcaregivers.org, and take advantage of the resources that we have available to you, the caregivers. Until then, take care of yourself. Bye now.